Bob Goldthwait is here, Wendy, one of the most innovative comedians of our generation, certainly. He's a director, an actor, a writer. As you pointed out, he looks good. You smell good, too,
I
Bob.
Smell a little minty fresh. Every 20 years I come here, you know? You can't keep me around. Every 20 years.
Can I tell you, I already told this to Wendy. I made you laugh about 22 years ago. We were interviewing you for a movie.
And look, he still thinks about it. 22 years ago.
It meant a lot to me to make you laugh.
Here's what it was.
You were talking about some shows you had coming up that weekend, and you said, but really, I've already sold out. And I said, some people said that about you when you made Hot to Trot. And you laughed so hard, this is a good
still
day.
Still made me laugh. still holds true. And I won't fight that. You know, I had the career most people have at the end of their career, at the beginning, so where I did sell out. I often say I retired from acting the same time they stopped hiring me, but that's really not true. I choose, believe it or not to be in front of the camera. It sounds very crazy in America, but yeah.
And how long have you been doing stand-up? Because it's been so long.
I started
long.
Doing stand-up when I was 15,
jeez.
And then I got on Letterman when I was 20, and now I'm 53.
Look at that.
But
I can't
do
the math.
There's a connection that you make with a live audience that I ran out of money. That's why I do it. No, you know, I shouldn't say that. I said that joke. You were just talking about Wikipedia. I said that joke once, and then it became in my bio. It's like,
was there a GoFundMe page to
get
you money?
Yeah,
and
like
stuff?
People were like going, you know, the comedian discussed going broke. It's like. Cheese and crackers, and I don't usually curse, but that really frosts my
But the
my
gall
cake.
It takes for a 15-year-old to go up on stage, I mean, it's
the
hard
gall
for anybody.
Or the mental illness, but there's a lot of comedians. I started when I was 15, but like Chappelle started that young, and yeah. Eddie Murphy did too. So, yeah, I guess, but it's weird because I became a comedian that young, but I had no other skills, like life skills
right.
and stuff. You know, I missed that part where people go to college and screw up and then become, I screwed up. But when most people were in college, I was making Police Academy.
Right.
I would have certainly worked harder on those movies if I knew I was going to be talking about them for the rest of my life. Actually, I just did the local news and they show a clip of Police Academy before they interview me. And I was like, you know, I was thinking about Gary Shandling, and I was like, wow, when I die, that's what they're going to show.
They will show that, won't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter. But later on, Goldthwait cured AIDS and invented cold fusion in a sink, but you know him as the wacky cadet from Police Academy. So,
no Shakes the Clown they're showing?
Shakes the Clown? No. It's funny, you know, I have a soft spot for Shakes. I like Shakes, but sometimes I'll be doing, you know, like Taint and Teabag in the morning or whatever, you know, some wacky morning guys.
A fine morning team, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, Taint and Teabag. You know, they'll go, I don't know, what's the deal with Shakes the Clown? I'm like, well, I like it. But
yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of misconceptions about that movie that I financed it and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? Worrying about how people perceive me or worry about what's the truth that's out there, I don't have that kind of time.
No,
and
sure.
I would drive myself mental.
Sure. You brought up Gary Shandling, and at some point we were going to ask anyway. Over the years, I'm guessing you bumped into him more than once.
Yeah,
huh?
You know, the last time I saw him, he actually showed up. I did a documentary called Call Me Lucky, and I didn't invite him or anything. I mean, of course, he was welcome, but he mm-hmm. just showed up at a screening, and I didn't know this. Someone showed me that on Twitter he had told people that it was an important movie and
oh,
you should
nice.
Go watch and all that stuff. But that would, you know, I what I love about Gary, you know, Gary was a guy who, as a young man, got the brass ring. When he was in his 20s, he was writing on Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
So he got everything people thought. Like he you're supposed to be happy when you get money. And you know, he figured out how television worked, realized that it's not going to fill any holes in you, and then he decided to blow it up. Blow up show business. You know, Gary was interested in the much bigger questions in life. You know, he could have hosted talk shows, and he turned them all down.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I just I think I don't even think people understand how smart he was.
He was just on a podcast with Jerry Seinfeld, the Cars.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what it's called.
Comics and Cars.
Yeah, Comedians and Cars or something.
Coffee or something? I don't know, yeah.
And he was talking about Robin Williams' death a lot, and he was talking about his own obituary and stuff. So you can watch that. Mm. But I hadn't seen him or heard from him in a while, and it was just shocking news to find out yesterday.
I think he was looking for you know, I think fulfillment meant more to him than fame and stuff. So he did things on his own terms. He was very sweet, but also intense. You know, it wasn't like a guy who you know. Let's just say he wouldn't have ended up being one of the Colonel Sanders.
He'd be the one guy in comedy that would say no to KFC.
No, I would say no, too.
He'd just come out with no costume on.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. I turned down a lot of stuff, and I don't often talk about that, but I turned down a lot of acting roles. Not a lot, but a lot of roles that I think most people would have done.
Yeah.
I've turned down Breaking Bad. I turned down 30 Rock. I turned down,
Why would you turn down Breaking
Bad? And what would they have you have done?
Oh, it was supposed to play, I don't know what the role was. I think it was something they were coming up with. But it was it had an arc and everything. Because I truly love making movies. Yeah. I love writing and directing. So why am I going to stop that to go be in something that I don't find fulfilling and then have strangers interrupt me while I eat? And talk to me about something that my heart wasn't into.
Sure.
I know that sounds terrible.
No, it makes sense. But it's truthful.
But it's, I was with a, I had a girlfriend and she was an actress and we were in Edinburgh and that was when I told her that I turned on Breaking Bad. And there was this table next to us and they were having this big animated conversation about it. And she goes, well, why would you do that? I go, because we wouldn't have been able to finish this meal.
It's true. It's very true.
I often don't discuss that, but I'm tired and I'm exhausted, so it's truth serum. So you can ask me anything right
you
now. Want.
And it's not like you need the money.
Well, yeah, no, I could. I mean, I'm 53 and I have roommates. It's all coming together this year. But I choose to live like that so I can work on things that I'm proud of instead of things that I cringe when they're on. And I still do. I mean, I'll do things if it's like, you know, like Robin was a very good friend of mine, and I was strapped with back taxes, and he did a Snickers commercial, and part of the caveat was that he told them they had to hire me.
Oh,
and so he calls me up and he goes, you know, you're gonna have to do the voice. They're gonna make you do the voice. And meaning the character,
sure.
Right?
And he knew how much I didn't enjoy it, and I was just like, for the amount of money Snickers is paying me, I will F a Snickers bar. I cleaned it up for you, but
thank you. It's so satisfying. I hear.
And by the way, it is satisfying.
So satisfying.
It is. It keeps you going. It turns out it's a great candy bar. I should say that because I had to sign a thing with the Mars Corporation that I would never say anything bad about
ever,
their candy bar
ever.
But yeah. So then he came into my dressing room, and I was suspended during the commercial on cable, so I had to wear this unitard underneath my clothes so it didn't the harness didn't scratch off my nipples and stuff. And so he wrapped early, and he comes in, and he goes, so the next day he calls me, he goes, why did they have you in a fat suit? And I was like, no, dude. That was just a unitard. That was
you.
That's
right,
me,
that's you.
It wasn't Spanx.
He had a bet going. or Manx. He had a bet going with his assistant that I was wearing a fat suit. He's like, well, Rebecca, you're right. It wasn't a fat suit.
Speaking of the voice.
Yeah, where is the voice?
Well, can I share something that you told me years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I opened for you at the Carefree Theater in West Palm Beach about 22 years ago.
Sure,
there was a guy named Tony V.
Oh, yeah, Tony.
Right?
Tony and I have.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you said to me, we were talking about the character, the voice, and you said, watch what I do. I'll go out and I'll do the voice for the first 3 or 4 minutes, and at the end of the show, I'll do it for 3 or 4 minutes, and the audience will think that I've done the voice for the entire
time,
show.
Probably, yeah.
And you were right.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, and I used to feel this obligation because I knew folks were there to see that and would feel that I got ripped off, but eventually it was just like, I'm bored. I don't want to perpetuate this persona that I'm not interested in doing. You know?
Yeah.
So Sometimes I think it might sound bitter when I run into someone who has such fond memories of that.
Yeah.
But I just gotta make myself happy. It's funny that as you get older, I used to hate young people. Now I love young people. I like millennials because they only know me from the movies I make, and there's not all this baggage. But and then people my own age, I just want to scream. You know, I don't know why. You know, they just don't know. I'm always traveling, so it's like, oh, how do I poop? Like they can't get on a plane. You know. Or,
ask you that, Bob?
They don't ask me, but they're just so confused about the ticketing and getting in line.
Well, you do it regularly. I'm not a really good traveler.
Right, but I don't know. I get so... I guess I should be more patient, but...
What would they ask you? Just strangers
No, they're just
ask
confused
you?
By the whole system of just getting on a plane. And then I was on a plane, and there was... these age-appropriate women that, you know, in their 50s and 60s, and they were giving me the big eye. And I was like, where were you in the 80s? You know, they were like, I guess because I have two healthy hips.
That's a turn-on.
I'm a piece now.
Yes, yeah, you are.
I was like, I could pull so much steel wool right now, apparently.
Bob Goldthwait is here. He can pull so much steel wool, you won't believe it. Come and see him at the Comedy Shrine tonight and tomorrow, an 8 o'clock show tonight, an 8 and 10 tomorrow. ComedyShrine.com has your ticket information. We'll come back more with Bob Goldthwait next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Bobcat Goldthwait is here, comedian, director, actor, writer, and a whole lot more. He's appearing at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora tonight and tomorrow, 8 o'clock tonight, 8 and 10 tomorrow. ComedyShrine.com has all your ticket information.
I think that, I don't know about a whole lot more. I think
that's about it
in a nutshell. I don't have any ballroom dancing or anything else up my sleeve.
You're not going to do the Dancing with the Stars ever?
No, believe it or not, I don't want to be on a reality show. That's the part of why I love doing stand-up. I enjoy doing stand-up, but it also affords me to not do
that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to clean up what I was going to say, but yeah, to do those kind of shows. Yeah,
it's fun to watch you self-edit. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. It's always funny when I do the local TV because it'll be like. It wasn't bad this morning, but it'll start with a clip from Police Academy, and they're hoping that I'll be funny, and then they'll go, "And you were Robin Williams' best friend," and then they'll. And so where am I going to go, you know? And then it ends with, tell us about the new movie, and they don't know anything about it. And then when I describe it's about child abuse, and then they go, all right, it's Adopt-a-Dog Day here on, you know, right. It's just...
Switch gears quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always funny to me because I'm the weirdo. It is like, you guys are hopped up out of your minds at 7 a.m.
Right, but you're unusual.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I mean, then off the air, they're like, oh, I hate Karen. You know what I mean? But or whoever their co-host is.
Right. Hey, are you watching the OJ TV show?
No.
You got to see John Travolta doing Robert Shapiro.
I've seen clips of that.
Oh,
folks
my God.
It. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it.
How is it? Is it ridiculous? It's
over the top that it sucks you in. It's like an accident. You want to keep watching it.
So it's like a Lifetime movie?
Yeah.
On crack.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. They have that episode.
A special episode.
Lifetime,
yes.
No, Lifetime. Yeah. Marky Post chasing the dragon.
Right.
She's a mom smoking heroin.
Yep.
I went down a bad, bad Lifetime rabbit hole.
Did you?
When I had back surgery.
Yeah. Got to see a lot of their work.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure.
It's Joyce not just Fowling. For women, you know.
Oh, no, it's not.
Women and people who've had back surgery.
Back surgery, yeah. I remember my wife at the time, I was just sobbing watching, 15 and Pregnant, Kristen Dunst. And
yep, it gets sad.
She just comes in and she goes, you don't get to take any more Dilaudid.
Sure. Bob, when you make a movie with subject matter that's, I can't even say dark, because you've made... Here's a good example. You made a movie a couple of years ago about a guy who was going to get married to a woman, and then he found out that a woman had a very interesting affair prior to... Okay.
It was a romantic comedy with a tiny bit of bestiality.
Just a little bit.
But see, the thing is I think most comedies would have made that one of the comedy beats in the movie.
Without a doubt.
And I didn't. I went the other way. I was like, you know, are there things in a relationship you can't get past? Is honesty the best policy? You know, the movies I make, I tend to... they usually are about that gray area of life, like you know. And then I follow that one where that one was being honest was not the right thing. And then after that, I did World's Greatest Dad, which the flip side of that was being honest at all costs and being set free.
Yeah.
But these are all, you know, sometimes when I hear myself speak, I want to vomit. You know, it's like, dude, you're the dude from Police Academy. You know,
I know.
But I mean, I love making movies. I write screenplays all the time, and I don't go out and I make a living so I can make movies. I don't make my living off of movies.
Sure. That's
and
the right way.
I'm noticing you're sometimes calling him Bob and sometimes Bobcat. Which do you prefer?
Well,
you...
on the movies, I always say Bobcat Goldthwait at the end. And a lot of my dearest friends call me that. So I don't think of it as like, I had this character, his name was Bobcat, and now I want to be taken serious. You know, I don't want to be...
You're not Robert Goldthwait.
Yeah, I'm not Richard Schroeder or Ricky Schroeder. You know, it's just like, what are you going to do? Spend all your time correcting people? You know, people are going to do what they do. You know?
Right.
And David Hasselhoff, he drops the hassle.
He's just
no
Hoff
more
now.
Hassle. You can't do that.
No.
He's just Hoff now.
He's just the Hoff.
David, yeah.
But is he legally the
Yeah,
the
he changed his name legally. And he's
it'll
on
legitimize
my,
him. You'll see.
My kid's high school wall. He's on the Wall of Fame in LaGrange at LT High School.
Did he graduate from there?
Yes.
And so
and
it say
says
the Hoff?
Hasselhoff. They haven't changed that there.
Right.
I was going to like cross it out with a Sharpie.
They didn't get CC'd. He's the Hoff.
Isn't that crazy?
The Hoff. So it's like Trump changing his
right,
name.
Right. Same thing.
Yes.
Now, here's the thread that I've noticed. And you brought up Gary Shandling, and I can throw in Robin Williams into this and Woody Allen and yourself. That neurosis plays a big part in almost all of your comedy, not just yours, but all the people I mentioned and many, many more.
That's a good question. Possibly. But I mean, this is how I'm seeing the world. So I can't, you know, I couldn't write a movie about someone who's adjusted.
Right.
Wouldn't be that exciting.
Well, it's also, I know it's funny. People always, they know about my home life, and you know it's a house, and I have my friend Caitlin, who's performing with me this weekend at the Comedy Shrine. Her and her girlfriend live in the basement. My daughter lives in the guest house. My friend Mike, I think he lives there. We don't see Mike, but
Kato Kalin lives there.
Oh my God, that's so fun though.
And we have cats and dogs and people go, this should be a reality show, and it shouldn't. There's no conflict. It'd be like,
right.
Hey, thanks for buying me bagels. No, no problem. Let me give you some money. No, that's cool. It'd be the most boring.
No, that's better than half the reality shows that are on. You know that, right?
The love lives would be a lot because they eventually came up with a list of women that I was seeing that weren't allowed in the house.
Oh,
so that might be some fodder. But outside of that,
I'm in. If that show gets made, I'm watching that every week. I'm DVRing that.
But, I want to hang out there. It sounds like a
fun.
Blast.
I think it is. You know, you only hear about people complaining about roommates when it doesn't work.
Right.
But you know, now someone takes care of Anderson Cooper and Alice Cooper when I'm on the road. Those are my cats, I should say.
I wondered, cats or dogs?
Cooper, P-U-R-R. So, he's a silver fox. So, it's... I guess it must be fun because I've noticed that there's more people there when I come home now.
Oh.
Like there'll be a bunch of comics and stuff sitting
That's
around
success.
Watching RuPaul's Drag Race at 3 p.m.
You've achieved one of my goals. I always wanted to be the go-to house that everybody wants to hang out at and no one comes over.
And you know what? When I was a kid, that was our house, and it's taken me all these years to get back to that.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the house with the chill parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's your place?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great seeing you again. Continued success in everything.
Thank you. Hopefully it won't be 20 years. The next
I hope
time.
Not. That would
Maybe
be crazy.
7 years every time Spock gets laid.
Let's make a date of it based on good. That. Bobcat Goldthwait at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora tonight and tomorrow, 8 o'clock tonight, 8 and 10 tomorrow. ComedyShrine.com has all your ticket information. Thank you, Bob. We
Thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much.
Bobcat Goldthwait. We'll take a quick
Thank
break
you.
And then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.